diverse, independent, yours. You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia.
Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And my name is Sebastian.
Sebastian, how was your week?
My week was acceptably good.
Okay.
Honestly, nothing of interest happened. You know, sometimes I get into weird hijinks. I have surprise surgery happen to me, that kind of thing. But no, this week was pretty tame. I had some pretty good chicken wings. That was the highlight of my week, which sounds pretty tame, but when you're gluten intolerant, pretty good chicken wings is actually a very exciting side quest.
You know, speaking of hijinks and side quests, it's my partner Jake's birthday. I won't tell you how old he is, but he celebrated his 25th birthday again. Mm-hmm. And we went to Laser Quest or Laser, yes, Max or Laser Tag or whatever the company was called, followed by sushi. Never do it the other way around. Pro tip. Mm-hmm. Never the other way around. Okay. And yeah, I can tell you that I have not exercised certain muscles maybe in my life. Okay. Compared to when I don't know what kind of Call of Duty fantasy overtook me was in this laser tag game, but my what are they, calves or thighs, or no, my thigh muscles are aching.
I can't even name the muscle
that's hurting. It's just like, it's generally like, what are you doing? Like, you are not a pro athlete. Actually, to further my embarrassment here, and maybe to make people take pity on us, I dramatically was going up a ramp, aiming my laser gun at the children that were also competing. Mm-hmm. I got just obliterated, by the way. Like, apparently I am not very good at this. The one that won the first game was a 3.5 foot, I don't know, like 10-year-old that was invisible, like all black, 3 feet tall. Didn't see him the way, but I ducked and I was being all dramatic, very sort of James Bond-esque.
Did you do
and
a I forward
heard
roll?
Something. Sorry?
Did you do a forward roll?
I did not do a forward roll, but I was dramatically like, squatting.
Mm-hmm. You can't even down. Name that either. Okay.
I can't even name a squat. Clearly I do the exercises. I hear something. I was, what is that? What is that ripping sound? Mm-hmm. And my pants had just completely separated at the crotch.
Oh,
really, it was just a waistband and two like loose leg things.
Oh dear.
Thankfully, it was enough together that it wasn't obvious until I got home. But yeah, my clothing did not survive my trip to Laser Quest.
Oh dear.
Shocking.
And then you had sushi after, which probably
and then
didn't
I
help.
Did. Yeah, and then it was the waistband that went. Who knew?
I guess it depends if you're going for the traditional Japanese sushi or the Californian style sushi. Like, if you have the Japanese sushi with like the pickle or the cucumber or like the non-fatty, the bright red tuna versus like the Californian style where everything's covered in hot mayo, that could be the difference between being a little full and being a little stuffed.
Oh, it was hot mayo. The boots down, like, absolutely. Like, it really was. What do you call the opposite of U-hauling?
Staying where you live for a reasonable amount of time until you get to know each other and then moving in when you're both at an appropriate point in the relationship. It's not quite so pithy, but yeah.
It's not as pithy. No, I was actually going to go. I'm submitting this for consideration by the gay gods.
Oh my God.
Queer culture, if you're listening. I'm putting this out here. Now, in queer culture. U-hauling is what is used to describe, you know, how they say stereotypes are sometimes, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Rooted in truth, but it, not the whole truth.
Exactly. And yeah. The fact that, you know, me and you, we do you remember we had a friend who was straight and their sexuality evolved and they were bi, and I believe now they identify as lesbian. But they came out, I'm gonna put the message written down so you know who I'm talking about. We obviously don't want to out this person to the whole wide world.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. I've just secretly communicated that to Sebastian. But they came out when we knew them. And I think we were telling them about some of, you know, some of queer culture, some highlights, what to expect, you know, taking care of yourself, blah, 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 you know, safe, sane, consensual. And they met somebody that they had literally encountered, like physically encountered, I want to say twice, if that. And then they moved to California to live with them.
Oh, right. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This person, she literally rented a U-Haul within a week of meeting a lesbian and didn't know why we found that quite as funny as we did.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I do remember this. Yeah, that's digging deep. It's been a while since this happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think their relationship lasted about a few months and then she moved back. So, you know, but there is this, you know, I get it. When I'm sure everyone listening can imagine a time where you have had that sexual magnetism, where there is, you know, your eyes meet across the insert scene here, you know, and you're next to each other and it's, like you're being drawn in by invisible forces. And it's all very intense. Gay men's approach to responding to that is R-rated. But lesbians' approach to responding to that is generally to then just move in together. Not always, not all the time. It is a stereotype. But I can name a few lesbians, friends of mine, where they are happily married now in great relationships. But their courting period was literally just crossing one single courtyard. Like that was it. And then they were devoted. You know, well, the two dogs.
The archetypal explanation is that gay men are essence of male and lesbian women are essence of female. So gay men can't tell the difference between sexual attraction and romantic attraction. So they default to sex. So they just hook up right away. And that lesbians can't tell the difference. They default to romantic attraction. So they move in right away. When a lot of gay men should really have less sex on the first date and actually get to know them better. And a lot more lesbians should just say, look, you're not actually that into her. You just think she's pretty. Just hang out between, just Netflix and chill with her and call it a day. You know, you don't have to move in yet. Like, really, it's just people need to split the difference more. Split the difference more. Go down the middle road more. That's really what I'm trying to say here. But why are we bringing up U-hauling? I want to
put something out there as the opposite to the U-haul. Okay. And I'm going to call it the Miriam Margolyes.
Okay.
Because Miriam Margolyes, who was Professor Sprout in the Harry Potter series, a very, very, very funny, outspoken Jewish lesbian lady of British descent, I believe. She met her partner, longtime partner of 54 years, the Australian academic Heather Sutherland. And in the 60s, they were like, you know what? We both have our own careers, our own futures. Let's work things together. Anyway, 54 years later, they are now moving in together.
Okay.
I put it to the queer gods that the opposite of U-hauling is the Miriam Margolyes. What do you think, Sebastian? Do you reckon it'll take?
I actually, well, I don't know about the name, but I'm familiar with the process. Back when I actually used to work in a gay bar, I had these two regular customers who had been together for 30 years, I think, when I met them. And I asked them, what's the secret to your success as a relationship? And both of them openly said, it's because we've never lived together. At the time when I knew them, they had separate apartments that were across the street from each other. So when they were sitting on the balcony, they could like wave to each other. One of them had a one bedroom, one of them had a two bedroom. The one with the one bedroom co-paid the other one so that whenever family came to town, they had somewhere to stay. But they're basically like, our ability to survive as a relationship is to respect each other's space that much. And they rarely slept on their own. And they just sort of went back and forth between the two apartments. And they did this for like 30 years. And I was like, that's a bit much, but I get it. Like, I get it. I don't know if I would do that, but if you did that with Jake, I'd be like, well, yeah, it works, I guess. I don't think Jake would tolerate that, though.
No, I'm far too needy. I don't think I could tolerate it. No, I need my human, and we'll get to that later.
Not all things work for the same people, but yeah, that's
this is true. Different strokes for different folks. Exactly. Now I'm gonna put a message into the chat here, and I'm gonna spell it out to the audience. Now there was an article which has ignited a bit of a social media buzz, and it's one of those theories of gay brain. If you read this a certain way, you may be gay.
Okay.
And it is ITS, as in it's, G-I-V-I-N-G, as in giving, and then season. Okay. How would you read that, Sebastian?
Well, this time of year, I would interpret it as Black Friday is approaching, all the sales are approaching, buy a bunch of gifts while they're cheap, and hoard them for Christmas. I view this as a sort of a pre-warning of sort of like winter is coming, except it's more like the shopocalypse is coming and you do not want to be
less
in a mall in December.
Mariah Carey, more Black Friday.
Yeah. Oh, go now before the Mariah Carey gets really bad. I still like that song because I'm in a mall at that time of year once per year. So I hear it and I'm like, I haven't heard this in a while. It's okay. If you only hear that song once or twice a year, it's still a good song. But yeah, to me, this is a it looks like an advertisement for like The Bay, for example.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. It's on a store window. If you were to read it out loud, you would say
Christmas. It's giving season.
Yeah, well, a lot of gays are reading it as it's giving season.
Okay.
And I'm not going to lie, when I read it and I was like, it's giving season. It's giving, fir trees and unicorn and, you know, reindeers. It's giving, winter wonderland. Very much tapping into queer lexicon, queer slang. You know, I thought it's giving was a Gen Z thing, but it may be that sort of cultural hybrid of more Gen Z, definitely in the queer space. But folks are, it's really kind of divided the room with people reading it as either it's giving season or it's giving season. I think my interpretation is just more fun.
Well, it's, if you really want to get into the grammar of it, one is the predicate and the other one would be it's functioning like an adjective, like a past participle kind of a thing there. So it's giving is, it is giving, where giving is the verb versus it is the verb. And then giving is like the adjective. So it's really, it's season. What kind of season? It's giving season versus it be giving ..
season.
I don't know. Yeah. So yeah.
I love that. It be giving. That's what I'm taking away from you. It be giving season. Uh-huh. Now we are going to jump to our first song of the day, and that is You featuring Jim Mick, and this is from Trainwreck, and we will be back just after this.
I need someone on my side, you're right there standing by. Will you stay or not? Will you let me start over? Mm-hmm. You'll be the one to boost my mood. I can be there for you too. We're two bananas in pajamas, I say with laughter. And everything after is okay. So let's just run away. We'll just stay young and run away. We'll just play dumb and pretend. Because I don't want this to end. It's you. You're my seller and I'm holding tight. Yeah, you. You're always there in the right moments in time. There's so much I wanna say. I feel it, but it might scare you away. And in this moment I can't breathe. My heart is pounding out of me. Yeah, you. When the lows are where the highs, in this temporary life. Yeah, when I'm with you, you tell me we can soar. Who would have thought that I would believe in fate? It's no mistake that we met in a time where we can share the date. So let's just run away. Lose all intentions, run away into this moment. I can't wait until the day forever stays. It's you.
Welcome back to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name remains Luke Smith.
And I am Sebastian.
Now, I did want to talk about something that's happened recently. Are you familiar with Omegle?
I know the name. I know it exists. I vaguely know what it is and what it does. I have never been there. I haven't heard that name in a long time. Does it still exist?
It's just been shut down.
Oh.
So Omegle plays an interesting role in queer history,
mm-hmm.
as does a lot of things. You know, cruising plays an inconvenient role in queer history as well. You know, it's a lot of these things have. Moments in them. So just for all the uninitiated, I suppose, Omegle was it's a website that people go on with their web cameras and they are randomly paired up with strangers. And it was a way of meeting strangers on the internet,
right,
which is exactly how it would sound.
I'm willing to bet one in 20 encounters was actually pleasant. And then another 50% of it is strangers in a strange land with the camera pointed at their nether regions as soon as it turns
on. Yeah, 1,000,000%. Like, yeah, you've nailed it. You've nailed Omegle as a description. Yeah. But what you're missing is that one of the features of it is that you can skip. So you might be paired with somebody for like a millisecond, and then they would skip, and then you'd be paired with another. So you get to like 20 skips, and then someone would be there. Mm-hmm. But it spawned things like people doing Omegle pranks where they would, you know, have a whole choir and a band perform randomly to just one person on their webcam. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was also inundated with typically white middle-aged men with the camera pointed at the nether regions, you know, which is not great.
It's not the demographic I heard, but that's a separate issue.
Yeah, no, it was, it's not great. And it certainly was multiple challenges. In fact, one of the stories that I think really flummoxed and led to the lawsuits that did eventually shut down Omegle was based with, I'm just making sure I get the details correct here, but was based out of Manitoba.
The province, not the band.
Yeah, there's a Manitoba band. I mean, of course there's a Manitoba band. Because
they
had
to rename itself to Caribou. But yeah. Manitoba, based out of Dundas, Ontario. Actually, know somebody who went to high school with the guy who makes it completely separate. Anyway, sir, go on. Tell us about this lawsuit.
So they just had a $22 million lawsuit launched against them following the platform. It paired a Manitoba man who has now been convicted of sexually abusing this individual and others. Mm-hmm. And it paired this particular man with, I believe it was an 11-year-old girl at the time on the app. Now, just to give you a sense of how Omegle works, it was the number one strangers meeting website on the internet.
Okay.
We're talking thousands and thousands of people on it simultaneously at any given time, randomly paired together.
It's also
go ahead.
I was going to say it's also worth saying this was internet 1.0. So this was before codes of conduct. This was before user agreements. This was basically,
I mean, you could be on it yesterday. You know what I mean? Like, it's just been shut down.
Yeah. It has only just been shut down, but like the idea of it being curated, no. Internet 1.0 was completely uncurated, unmonitored, no user policies, just do not go on the internet if you are not okay with gamer words, with racism, with unexpected nudity, with people just randomly sending you the Gautier image. And it was... That was Internet 1.0. And Omegle kind of came in towards the end of, I mean, a lot of these apps came in towards the end of that, where it was just, it is the Wild West. If you do not have an iron stomach, just stay off the internet, grandma.
Well, you're right, because it did have age filters, but they are considered to be not particularly effective. You were able to zero in on certain communities. So if you put gay as one of your tags, it would try and pair you up with people who also put gay as the tags. You know, there are definitely multiple stories like this Manitoba man and the woman. Mm-hmm. Now, it's worth noting that after being randomly paired, I believe they connected off of the site. And that's where and when the abuse happened. I believe it was online.
Okay.
But it still brought those two people together, and it really ought not to have. And it they were sued. They settled for $22 million, and the website has now been shut down. But the darkness of it is what shut it down, and rightly so. Mm-hmm. However, while it was running, it served as a really interesting space for queer folks because people who wanted to talk to a human about being gay, about the terrible tuna sandwich they had for lunch, about, you know, their partner or abusive family or the terrible tuna sandwich they had for lunch, you know, whatever it is.
The original intent of apps like this was more like, what is it like to live? What is it like to live in Mozambique? What is it like to be an ER nurse?
What's it like being Chinese gay in China? You know, what's it like? You know, exactly. And that it created so much cultural dialogue, so much conversations. It was really the foyer of the internet in terms of you don't know who you're going to meet.
Yeah.
You don't know what kind of conversations you're going to strike up.
Yeah.
You know, and it really was quite quite powerful in that sense. So there's a lot of
years
people
ago when I was on an internet 1.0 site. I do not even remember which one it was, but I do remember somebody telling me that he had to kick a penguin that morning. And I said, why on earth would you kick a penguin? Those things are adorable. And he said, I live in Patagonia. If you live in Patagonia,
I bet they're in the way.
You would get it. I think they have the relationship with penguins that we have with Canadian geese, where I know vegan pacifists. You know, my former roommate, vegan pacifist. She once told me, if one more goose takes a run at me, I will punch it in the head. And she wasn't joking. She was ready to punch a goose in the beak. So I think maybe they just have that relationship with penguins in Patagonia, which is just fascinating that that's the world we live in, where somebody may want to punch a goose. And I've heard that I have coworkers in South Africa who have the same relationship with secretary birds, that they are on the knife's edge that one day they're just going to slap a secretary bird. Beautiful animals, but they're just,
What is a secretary bird?
It's one of those, it's sort of related to like ostriches and emus, although it's a little bit smaller. And it's an animal that the moment it sees a snake, it just loses its mind. There's quite a few animals that have that instinct and it just messes it up. So if you put a cucumber on the ground, it will tear it apart because it's like snake-like enough for me. So yeah, secretary birds, beautiful animals. They got like a head crown kind of a looking thing. But yeah, they're vicious, apparently, just like Canadian geese. You know, I don't want to punch a goose, but if another one runs at me and I'm like,
I think that's a hate crime in Canada. I'm pretty sure that
I don't think I'll actually, I usually just avoid them. I just the best way to not punch a goose is just avoid them, you know.
This is true.
Well, but yeah, we're talking about Omegle. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, a lot of queer folks are comparing it to the collapse of gay.com and Yahoo, like MSN chat and places, you know, things like that. Places that really acted as forums and venues to create relationships with people or even brief conversations with people that you otherwise would never meet.
Yes.
You know, giving you that sense of security and anonymity to be able to talk about yourself in this, you know, and whatever that may be, but also, so much inappropriate content. That, you know, that flooded.
It's a buyer beware situation. All the old internet 1.0 things, the uncurated, moderated. A lot of those sites, as much as they are really interesting places to meet interesting people, like how I met that guy who told me about penguins in Patagonia, and my current partner, I met him on Reddit. So not even on anything kind of pervy. It was completely innocent. I just basically said I really like this one video game and I want to play it with somebody and try out the multiplayer functions, and that was it. But anyway, a lot of those are starting to go away as the sort of moderation of the moderation and curation and sort of like image oriented, identity oriented, profile oriented sort of internet 2.0 and now sort of social media internet 3.0. If this all is even a valid way of talking about things anymore, this is very 2008 to talk about it in these terms. But
well, Omegle was formed in 2009.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
still, it would have been on the heels of the early days. A lot of it is starting to disappear. And I do understand that uncurated, unmoderated spaces can be dangerous and you really do need an iron gut and it really is buyer beware. I also think they're very necessary. Having tighter controls to keep underage folks off of them is absolutely necessary, but I do think that they hold a space they hold a purpose. One of those things is political activism. Some of these spaces are very active for, I know a lot of the protests in Hong Kong are organized through spaces like this. So they can be useful. The Arab Spring, the uprising in Egypt was organized partly through sites like, well, maybe not Omegle in specific, but, you know, unmoderated spaces. So I don't know. I think there's a case for them as much as